Welcome to Virtually Analog, where we explore Board Game Arena and the ever-blurring line between board and video games. I'm your co-host, Lex.
I'm your other co-host, Shay.
And today we are going to be covering the game The Shipwreck Arcana. This description is we got from Board Game Geek. Trapped in a drowned world, you and your allies are doomed. Or are you? Using a mystical deck and a healthy dose of logic, you can predict each other's fates and escape unscathed. The Shipwreck Arcana is a compact cooperative game of deduction, evaluation, and logic. Each player's doom constantly changes as they draw numbered fate tiles from the bag. By choosing which fate to give up and which card to play it on, you can give your allies enough information to identify the fate you're holding, which is important as the active player cannot communicate with their allies during their turn.
The Shipwreck Arcana was designed by Kevin Bishop with art by Matthew Bishop and was published by Merrimorph Games in 2017. It was developed for Board Game Arena by Pasco 92. It plays best at 2 to 5 players, takes about 20 minutes, and has a 3 out of 5 complexity rating on Board Game Arena.
The main mechanics in Shipwreck Arcana are cooperative and logic deduction. It is a cooperative game, so that means that there isn't necessarily a one winner or one loser. You are all working together to try to kind of beat the game, quote unquote. And a logic deduction game is kind of like what it sounds like. You are kind of using logical reasonings to kind of figure out the answer to a problem. In this game, I would say
that this is like a reverse werewolf.
Werewolf is like social deduction where you're trying to use people's behavior to kind of figure out who's lying and who's not. And then this game is, like you said, like the opposite sides of that coin where you're trying to use people's actions to deduce like what things have to be. Like in this case, there's little numbered tiles that everybody has. And you draw on your turn, you draw 2, and they range, I think, 1 through 7. Mm-hmm. Is that correct, Shay? Yeah. 1 through 7. And you draw them, and there's these tarot cards that have like little logical clues on them. I'll call them clues, seems to be the best word, where it's like, If one of your fates is higher than the other one, place the higher one here, right? So if you do that, and if you play like a 2, then your teammates know that your number has to be 1, right?
Right.
That's like if you get really lucky, they tend to be a lot. You'd have to get really lucky for that kind of situation to occur. Usually it's a little bit more ambiguous and you have to kind of use multiple tries and, there's also the tarot cards are double-sided. So on each card has, a certain number of like pips. The numbers that you place on them also have pips. And if you ever have more than, on numbers on the card than you do on the card itself, then that card goes away. And that's the turn where you have to, make a guess on what that person's number is. Because if you don't, then the red marker, I don't remember like thematically what the red marker is supposed to be, like death, I guess.
something like that for sure.
There's like a clock card, and whenever you guys guess someone's number right, you move clockwise around this clock card, and if you get back up to the top, if you go all the way around this card, then you win. And if the red death marker gets there first, then you lose.
It's actually surprising that racing is not like a mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you are like this game. Racing against
because you are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's true. I mean, don't know.
I'm no board game expert, but
yeah,
seems like racing would be a mechanic in this one.
Yeah. I mean, if when you think about it, everything's kind of a race, you know?
Okay, well.
Yeah, no, I think that, yeah, it's very much like the, oh, never mind. I'm not going to talk about the other game that I was going to compare this to because we haven't covered it yet.
Because we didn't cover Paint the Roses
yet. When we talk about Paint the Roses, we'll come back to this game and talk about this game some more because there are quite a bit of it. That game is a cooperative logic deduction game as well. And you're literally getting, yeah, I get, you know what, Shay, I kind of made fun of you, but I think a race, like, it's a points race and you're trying to outpace your the game itself, so yeah, makes sense.
Listen, there's a reason why I'm on this podcast. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So is there anything else I should cover in terms of mechanics, Shay, or do you think we pretty much got there? Oh no, I mentioned that the cards are double-sided. When you fill up a card and you have to guess, and whether you're right or wrong, the card gets flipped over, and on the other side is a one-time power. And the powers range from, like, there's like a bunch of different things that the powers do, and they're all really cool, and they're kind of like tied thematically to the other side of the card. I think they're supposed to be. I thought they were, but yeah, I think that the powers are really give you a kind of a lifeline where it's like this game could be really, really almost impossible without those.
Yeah.
A lot of times they like let you ask questions about the number. They're just, most of the time they just give you extra ways of letting the team know what numbers you have. So they're nice. Cool. All right. Do you want to get into our top three favorite things, Shay?
Hey, let's do it.
All right.
What's your number three, Alex?
My number three, my third favorite thing about this game is that it tickles just the right part of my brain. I'm not a very smart person. I wouldn't characterize myself as like the smartest person ever. But I do love logic puzzles, and I think this game has just like the perfect kind of difficulty level in terms of like the logic is fairly straightforward. You don't have to like do any kind of like calculus or anything. Like you can pretty much piece together. So I like that, how it's like it makes you feel smart, but you don't really necessarily need to be smart to to succeed in this game, especially if you're playing with smart people, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, what about you, Shay?
I like that this game doesn't punish risk taking too much. So we kind of talked about touched on this a little bit. The like flip side powers of all of the cards kind of help offset the randomness of the game, which I think is a fantastic feature of this game, in that like every part of this is luck and not necessarily bluffing, but like whatever the equivalent of like cooperative bluffing is, like that's yeah, that's what this game is about, you know what I mean? So like they don't punish you too much for like guessing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean like you,
there is a penalty for sure, but like it, yeah, it's not like a game breaking penalty. Like you can still make back what you lost in that like race mechanic.
Right. At any time, you're still in it, right? Like,
right, exactly.
And that's very true. Like, you could get three in a row in a wrong and still win the game as long as you win out, right? Like, there's not a whole lot of games that are guess. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's not a huge penalty for passing, which, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, in a game as short as this, it is not a bad thing. It helps everyone feel included, I think, in the game, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's, and The ultimate point that I'm trying to make on this, like my third favorite thing, is that like the powers that you get from flipping a card over, from using it too many times, helps with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I think we're on the same page there, as well as the second point. We both we both wrote this in on the show notes at the exact same time.
Yeah,
I think that we can just go ahead and both say that, like, the artwork for this game is awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what you love about it?
Yeah. So my partner Fisher did an art project based on the major arcana of the tarot card deck. It was so cool that I have just like spent the rest of my life trying to find all of the cool iterations of the tarot deck, and this game has put forth one of the coolest tarot decks that I have seen. And I'm not a subscriber to, you know, tarot or, you know, any of that kind of thing,
right?
But like, I am, you know, every card flip in this game I am just like blown away by the artwork on it, you know.
Yeah, it would have been really easy for them to like phone it in on the theme,
right?
And like just pick something like really dull.
Yeah, just pick somebody else's tarot card design, but they did their own.
Yeah, you know? Or like not even go with like tarot cards, but like, you know, fantasy theme or Viking theme or like, you know, whatever. Like
Gnar.
Let's not put Nara on blast like that. Exactly, like something like that. Like the mechanics of this game, I mean, yeah, like I think that the mechanics just fit this idea of like fortune telling and trying to like
piece together
things that like it just like it works really well. And like the artwork is like you said, like it's not just a great theme for this game, but it's also the artist that they got to do this did a fantastic job kind of representing the best of that aesthetic. I'm not an expert in this stuff, but I think that it's really cool. It really it really grabs you, and like even the font choice like is just like on point. Mm-hmm. And like the little pips are like the phases of the moon, and it's just like it all works really, really well for this game.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The cards look simultaneously like a tarot deck and also like the deck of cards that you would need for this game, which is not something that necessarily needs to be delineated, but like, the fact that they coexist together is like a huge plus for me in this game. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I think it would be cool. Like if you, I don't, like you said, like I'm not a subscriber to these kind of belief systems that like use this kind of stuff, but like, so I don't know if you could, but I would imagine that they made this so that like a person who isn't interested in the game at all could use these tarot cards and like do readings with them, you know, like,
I don't see
why they couldn't, you know, like, it's really pretty cool that they went with that theme.
And yeah.
I think they nailed
Definitely. Yeah. All right, Lex, what's your favorite thing about this game?
Yeah. So we already kind of talked about it a little bit, but I think like what really elevates this game above, some of the other cooperative logic puzzles or logic deduction games is the one-time use powers. I think that that was like a really, really smart design decision to be like, hey, the regular guessing of like the main mechanic of this game isn't enough for the players. Like, we need to give them some sort of lifeline if they're, you know, when they use up a card, they get one more chance to use it to do something. I think that that's like, it's just really, really smart.
Yeah. I do kind of appreciate the kind of balance of like, as you're failing, you're also building your chances of succeeding. And that's not, I don't want to say it's not necessarily this game, because it kind of is, but like, this game does a good job of like, you know, you can see when you're going to burn a card, but you also know that burning that card is not going to be the end of the world.
Right. Because it might have been not a super helpful clue anyway, right? Like, right, some of these clues, exactly, depending on how the numbers come out, some of the clues are definitely better than others. So,
right. And that's where my third favorite thing of like, doesn't punish risk taking too much. Like, you can take a chance on that power that somebody else laid, if you have enough players, and still be in the game, you know? Because like, you're building towards a power that's benefiting you rather than one that's limiting your information sharing, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So,
that's true. What about you, Shay? What's your favorite thing?
I really do love... I mean, this is kind of the hallmark of a social interaction game. But the interaction between players is my favorite thing about this game. With a good group of people, this is a fun game with good, I have written here, good twisty interaction. the creativeness with trying to help your teammates figure out what you're talking about with the numbers.
We should mention that, like, we played this, we should shout out Aaron and Kelsey, who played this with us.
Our most successful adventure. Yeah.
Yeah, we tried to play this first two player without, like we tend to do when we're like learning new games, is like not bother reading the rules and just trying to like figuring out by clicking on stuff. We did terrible. We lost like almost immediately. And then we played with Aaron and Kelsey. We had a little bit of a, like a real time game night with them, which was a lot of fun. We had a blast. And, I was really kind of nervous about like how Aaron and Kelsey were going to like the game. Like, I know that you'll play anything with me, but you know, Aaron and Kelsey aren't like, they don't play a lot on Board Game Arena with us. So like, I was kind of nervous about how that was going to go. But by the end of it, I think we were all really having a lot of fun with it. And so that kind of like, and then you and I played it again afterwards, just the two of us, thinking we would do better, and we did not at all. So
that being said, why might this game not be for you?
Yeah, if you're like real, real stupid like you and I are. I don't think, I'm being silly, but I think that like at a two-player game, that completely takes away that like player interaction where you get to talk to other people and like try to help, like use them to help soundboard off ideas, you know. When you take that away, it's not great. So like, if you play primarily two player, this game probably isn't gonna be for you. Or if you're just like me, just like really, really dumb, this game. If you can't rely on Aaron and Kelsey to get the win for you like we did. I think that, and then also there is some weird randomness issues where the difficulty of the game really is just completely purely random. Like, the cards that come out are random and the numbers that you draw are random. So like, if you just get a pair of numbers that you can't use at all with the card, like the clue cards that come out, you're just sort of out of luck. Like,
I mean, honestly, God forbid if you roll a 2 and a 6, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that luckily the game is fast enough that like, if that happens, you can just be like, and it's like you said, to your point earlier, it's very forgiving. So if that happens, you can just be like, hey, I'm just going to kind of waste this clue and we're just going to hope that we, you know, do better on the next round.
I was going to say, did we talk about how you can like pass turns and it doesn't?
Yeah.
There is a penalty, so
you have to place a token somewhere if you can. And as long as you didn't fill up a card, you can go ahead and pass, and it's not going to ding you. But once you fill up a card, you have to make a guess. And if your guess is wrong, then the little red circle will go around, and bad things will happen. So you do kind of like, there is some like negotiation of like, well, I don't want to place the token here because then they have to guess mine. And so I'll play it over here so that we'll have more rounds, right? So yeah, it's a cool system. All right, Shay, is this game better in real life or on BGA? I think you and I probably agree that this is it's probably better in real life, right? Like,
yeah,
I think especially like, oh, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. I think that's just like, deduction games in general are just gonna like play better when you can actually see the people that you're playing with. So
yeah for sure.
How much does this game cost? So this is kind of a weird one, because if you go on the distributor or the publisher's website, it's like $20, but people are selling it for a lot more on different, like on eBay and on like different places. Like I saw up to like $40 or even $80. Just get it straight from the publisher. You'll get it for $20 plus shipping or whatever. So I think $20. Yeah, I think for like a deck of tarot cards and some tokens, like I think $20 is like a perfectly reasonable price for a game like this. But
my partner Fisher did a deck of tarot cards that is available for sale. It's not $20. So
well, that, you're getting like custom artwork with that. Like that's a different.
That's, no, no, you no, know. That's not to downplay my partner's tarot deck. Right. That is to upsell the publisher's price on this one.
Yeah.
So
how does it play async? I think this game.
Bad
is much, much better real time. Let's put it that way.
Yes, correct. yes,
I think that when you are playing this game async, you'll just forget everything about, like, unless you're taking really good detailed notes, which in a short game like this is not worth your time and effort to do. I think that this game is just way better to play in person with awesome people. And if you can't find awesome people, then okay, people.
Play with us.
It's good to. Then one of us, yeah.
No, but, right, but Jim. You're right. For sure.
My favorite part of the episode, we have to do the tier ranking at the same time. Are you ready? You have it in your head?
Oh, man. I think so.
Okay. Ready?
All right. Yeah.
3, 2, 1,
B-.
Yeah, B-.
Yeah. I think
I'm perfectly happy with a B-. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think this is contingent on the group of players that you have. Not necessarily reflect. So this is one of those games where it's like not necessarily contingent on the game that you're playing, rather than it's contingent on the group of people that you have. We've talked about this before, I think. B-, I think, is where we put this game based on general groups of people. So,
right. I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair.
Yeah.
I have no qualms with that.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Please share the show using our website, virtuallyanalog.info. You can email us at virtuallyanalog@gmail.com. On our website, we also have links to our Discord. That's probably the best way to like reach out to Shay and I personally if you want to play games or have questions about the show. Discord is an awesome place to do that. But if you don't have Discord, feel free to email us. My BGA username is LexJudex. That's LexJudex. And my game invites are open, so feel free to send me a friend request and invite me to whatever game you'd like to play. Shay, where can people find you?
People can find me on Board Game Arena at S_G26. They can also find me on the Broken Gaming Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at BNGPod. And you can find us on Twitch at Broken Gaming Podcast. I stream roughly bi-weekly. That schedule has been interrupted recently, but I will be getting back on that. But yeah, my co-host and I, Dan, cover cheap video games that you should be aware of, and we're gearing up for a new endeavor that you should check out. So make sure to follow us on all of our socials.
Well, thanks everyone for listening. We will be back next week with another episode. We will be covering It's a Wonderful Kingdom, the sequel game to It's a Wonderful World, one of our favorites. So
one of my play that favorites, game, at least.
Come back. So play that game a bunch. If you want to play it with us, let us know. And we'll be talking about that next week. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys then.
Bye.